Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 41 of Tech to Go. I would first like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring today's podcast. Today we're going to be talking about several things. We've talked about the iPad in the past, but now it's completely out in commercial release. The new 3G is out, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the Office 2010 release that's imminent, and as well as maybe a few other things. So before we get started, I'd like to introduce the two of my co-hosts today. Dave McClure is not going to be with us, so I have Randy Johnston. Randy's a principal at K2 Enterprises. So welcome, Randy.
Welcome, and welcome to all.
And Renee Lassert, CEO of Bill.com. So, Renee, good to have you today.
Likewise, Darren. Always fun to talk, have these talks.
Well, guys, I just returned from the New York Accounting and Technology Show this week. Didn't see either one of you guys there, but they had a pretty good turnout. So talked to Russell Flagg there with Flagg Management, who was running the show, and said his numbers were up. So hopefully that's something good that we're seeing on the horizon this year. What's your guys' take on what you're seeing so far?
Well, I know wherever we've seen show registrations that they're up anywhere from 25 to 50%, pretty amazingly. And that's actually been a good thing so far.
Good. How about you, Renee?
Well, just in general, our growth has continued to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, 15 to 20% a month. So that tells me in general that, people are starting to pick up. We're hiring. And there was just a report yesterday that the economy added 290,000 jobs. So it feels like the economy wants to get back to spending. So,
well, if we can get the stock market to react appropriately, then that would be phenomenal. So, well, let's get started a little bit today, guys. I know that I recently, on April 30th, I did a pre-order for my iPad, and it was rumored, on April 30th they would release them. And I'll tell you what, at 9 o'clock that morning, FedEx walked in the door on April 30th with my iPad 3G. And so I immediately started playing with it, took it to New York this week, and found it to be a phenomenal device from my perspective. Renee, what's your take so far?
Well, the guys in the office got one, and each of my VPs had one, and I was kind of delaying and thinking I would wait, and eventually broke down and got one about 3 weeks ago. And I have to say, it is everything that Steve Jobs wants you to think it is. It's what I love about it is it's actually a lot easier and a lot more personal than any device that I have. And one of the examples I think of, it was Teacher Appreciation Week this week at school, so I had to make brownies for the teachers. And, I've got the iPad on the stand in the kitchen. I'm finding my favorite recipe, and, chocolate's flying everywhere, but it's great. I can blow up the font as big as I want, and it's none of this paper, and it's pretty awesome. So, and then, obviously doing email with it is a lot easier than your phone. It becomes a device that I use to do my email at home now. It's just easier than booting up the PC. It's faster than my MacBook Air. The thing that I've been starting to look at is how does that replace the stuff that I'm doing, with my laptop? That's my main connection to the technology world. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, we'll get back into that here in just a few minutes, a little bit more, Renee, because I want to ask you some questions on that. Randy, I know that you told me you've chose not to buy one yet, but Dr. Bob has gotten one. So tell me what you know so far.
Well, a couple of things that are of interest, I suspect, to our listeners, because we're actually reviewing a product this morning that is a fold-up book-like container for the iPad and keyboard. And with the Citrix remote client to overcome the Adobe Flash limitations of the device, what we've actually figured out with the iPads that we have in hand is we can connect to our Citrix server computers and run all of our PC applications on the iPad, in addition to all of the email and other pieces that you're going to talk about, I think, in your time on this. We do know, and I do know that Bob and his home has found that that's a pretty useful in-house device. And the problem for me to make it a good in-house device is I don't have Boxy implementations available on it yet, or can't figure out how to make that work. We do think it's a fun device to carry on the planes, have done that actually as well. And not unlike when the iPhone first came out or some of the early MacBooks, everybody wants to see and look. And the Kindle Reader, which of course downloads to the device, is one way to look at your books. Plus, you can use, you know, the iPad approach. So you actually get both book approaches on the same device. I think, as Renee's laid out, when you're working at home, just a convenience device there, I think it's good. It's probably an okay traveling device, but for me, again, I'm looking at the trade-off: personal computer speed and access, lightness, smallness to carry. So for right now, I'm at least standing by just to wait a little bit more and think about it.
Well, I'm just starting to write. I'm getting ready to write an article for our next issue on the device, from my perspective, at least. And, you know, as I was telling our publisher when we were in New York, you know, at this point, I don't see it as an either or device. Do I buy this or do I have a laptop? Because if I had to make that choice, I'm going to stick with a laptop because I get a lot more functionality. So for me, it's an and device. So I carry my iPhone and this and a laptop, which made my briefcase pretty heavy this time, as you guys can probably imagine, with a few other things in there. But, you know, I do, like you, Andy, said, I like the library component of it and the reader that the iPad has. Email is significantly enhanced over my iPhone. So, it boots up quite quickly. It's ready to go. That was nice. You know, I can download, if I like to read USA Today each day, that comes, you know, it's really easy to pull that up, and the graphics are phenomenal. So what I see my use for it right now is emailing, a little bit of web surfing, reading a book, listening to some iTunes. And that's about it for me at the moment. So I'm probably going to continue to carry my laptop. So Renee, how about yourself?
Well, so, you know, at home, obviously, you know, the web becomes more involved in each of our lives. So if we're at the dinner table now and you know, Alec or Bennett asked for the origin of some, they ask, what does that word mean? You know, I could go get the definition, or better yet, the origin and the history behind it. And having that on an iPad versus doing that on my iPhone just creates a much more interesting conversation, where there's a lot more learning going on in the house. So I like it as the kind of the internet device for conversation at home, or cooking, or, you know, checking an email, or checking the front page of the New York Times or USA Today. I mean, it is extremely rich on that. On the email, what's interesting is our company uses Gmail for the company. And so the Gmail app on the iPad is actually way better than Gmail and Safari or Foxfire or any of the other browsers that you might use. So it's interesting to me that they fixed some things that I thought were wrong with the viewer, you know, in the browser mode, but on the iPad, it's really slick. It's much better than what they had, you know, elsewhere. So it's kind of, I'd say that it's kind of the nice device to have at home for the quick, casual connection to the web. And I think as we do more and more stuff on web, that's going to happen more and more. So one other little story, which is kind of, I think, fun. I was at a concert with a famous pianist, a guy named Lang Lang from China. The guy is phenomenal. And anyways, he did his two-hour concert, came out and did his encore, did a couple of songs, and then we came out for his like third encore. He brought out his iPad and started playing Flight of the Bumblebee on the iPad with his right hand and playing it on the real piano on his left hand. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, it's just a great ad for Apple, obviously. But it just kind of brought home how, you know, this device can really enable lots of different things that people haven't been thinking about.
Cool story. Well,
I can tell you that, you know, before we started today, Renee, you brought something up that I hadn't thought about. So I think we ought to talk about that just a little bit, which is, You know, should you buy the 3G version, which is a little bit more expensive, or just buy the one with the Bluetooth? And I will say the 3G has Bluetooth as well. But the problem with the 3G, one, is availability right now is really limited. It seems like in store. I checked in New York, I checked in Indianapolis and different places, and they were all sold out. I'm sure they're getting them back in quite quickly. But you also have the additional fee, whether it's $20 to $30 a month, depending on the plan you want to get. That adds a significant cost to this. So, Renee, tell our listeners what your solution to this is.
Well, so generally, yeah, my solution is, and we've talked about this before, maybe 6 months ago, I have a device called a MiFi from Verizon. I think, you know, AT&T, all the phone companies have these things. But they're credit card-sized devices that you can just, you charge them up, and then when you turn them on, it provides a wireless network for up to 5 devices to connect to it. So for me, if I'm traveling with the iPad and I don't have one of my home-based connections, whether it's home or the office or whatever, then I can just get the internet through that device. You know, obviously, I don't know, Darren, if you had this on your flights in New York, but on all the coast-to-coast flights now, there's wireless on that. So if you're just browsing the web and you're not doing anything that requires security, you can just use the Wi-Fi that's on the airplane. So and I think more and more, you know, there's going to be plenty of places where there's a Wi-Fi. So for me, the 3G was, you know, already knowing how many problems, you know, there is with the iPhone and 3G, I just thought I would, you know, have the other network with the Verizon MiFi to make sure I have activity.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, guys, let's take a few minutes. And, Randy, we were talking, and Office 2010 is getting ready to launch. Can you kind of tell us everything that's going on there?
Well, what we know is that the code was released to manufacturing on April 6th, that that Microsoft has launch announcements and events planned for May 12th, that there will be containers, if you will, labs that are shipped around the country. We think around 25 of these where you can walk in and see the new Microsoft technologies. So think container full of computer equipment preloaded with software and so forth. Personally, I replaced my laptop for the year with a new generation i7 machine, and I've got the actual loaded Office 2010 code with everything live on that box and have been using it for a while now. The product seems to be particularly stable. Our rule of thumb is if Office 2007 works with your applications, Office 2010 also will work. There are some exceptions to that, but that's a pretty good starting point. I'm going to stick by my guns that the upgrade is worth it for Outlook alone, because with the way that the Outlook interface works, you can save half your time in processing email. It's exceptionally quick for doing that. And that the other features in Excel and OneNote and so forth are probably worth the upgrade, Groove, SharePoint 2010, and so forth. Each of the respective products, I think, have enough improvements to go forward. And particularly for the listeners who have hung back on 2003, I think this is the upgrade to go for. Most important, this is a hardware year, and you'll hear me say that in lots of contexts this year, but I think the hardware upgrades for this year are the most significant that I've seen in 15 years, and the software and hardware can be put in sync, and you can make a real difference, particularly if you've put off doing upgrades. I think it's time to move forward.
What are you seeing, Randy, in hardware upgrades that you really like for this year?
Well, probably the first item is both Intel and AMD have new generation processing chips that are 20 to 30% faster and consume 10 to 30% less electricity. So in your laptops, that means longer battery life. On your desktops, less power consumed in general. My new laptop is an 8-processor laptop, so you can imagine it's got some real kick to it. But it runs not only way faster, but way longer off its batteries than any model that I've had prior to this. Further, because of this new generation processor chip, all the video support is HD quality, so that's now the new standard. And, of course, the USB 3.0 hardware shipped and is available now. Not from all manufacturers, but fortunately I have it in mine, which gives you the ability to have much faster transfers to USB drives, USB sticks, and so forth. And there is, built at the very low level in this hardware, a multi-threading, or the ability to run multiple things at the same time, which Windows 7 and Office 2010 take advantage of, so you get much more rapid applications on the platform.
Renee, are you guys using Office 2007 at any level at this point?
We do use Office for Excel, Word, and PowerPoint. Now that we've got all of our mail up in Google Apps, we have looked at the Word and Excel versions up there, and it's still not quite robust enough. So, but that'll be the big debate: is do we want to upgrade, or do we want to kind of wait a year and see what happens with Google Apps?
Sure. Randy, so from my firm's perspective, this launches on Tuesday, right?
That's correct.
So that would be, Tuesday, somewhere around the 11th or so, right? In that ballpark. The 11th or so of May. Should I, as a firm, go ahead and make that transition at this point? You recommend I wait a little bit?
I would wait just a little bit, but not very long. So from a planning purpose, we know that Intuit, Thomson, CCH have all stated that their products will be compatible shortly after launch. Most everybody believes that they'll have all the compatibility work done near the end of June. Certainly, let's, for our discussion purposes, assume that they'll have it done by the end of summer. So if you're making hardware upgrades or planning those during the summer time frame, I think you could proceed with some safety. And certainly if you did it after second tax season, those installations in October and following, there's just no condition I wouldn't run Windows 7 and Office 2010 in my plan. Now, Renee is dead on the viability of Google Apps. They continuously improve Google Apps. And now that we've completed our Google Apps course for our K2 organization, we're pretty convinced that a significant amount of the work that many CPAs are trying to accomplish could be done inside Google Apps. But there, that does not have all the efficiency and feature set that Word and Excel has for now. So if you're a very light-duty user of word processing, Excel, spreadsheets, if you will, and so forth, Google Apps may well do the job for you. But at this point, I would absolutely move forward on the Office 2010 side. So the short answer to your question, should my firm upgrade? Yeah, based on you using a lot of Thomson apps and QuickBooks and so forth, I think you'd be ready to move any time in the next few weeks, literally.
Is there anything that would cause me to hold off because Microsoft is going to compete head-to-head with Google Apps in the near term? Or is that already happening to a large degree, do you think?
I think it's already happening to a large degree. One of the features that will be announced and released is the Office web apps trying to compete head-to-head with Google Apps through a browser. But same type of deal, Microsoft has not made the full feature set available in the web versions of these products. And I think they're really seriously considering Google Docs a threat. And that's actually a good thing, because that means Microsoft's going to drive Google to do more in their apps, and likewise, Google is going to drive Microsoft to do more in their apps. So we're finding more and more application vendors who have made their product compatible or directly interfaced with Google apps, and I think that's an additional opportunity.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, Renee, from mine and your perspective, I was just reading that Microsoft's coming out with Office 2010 for Macs in December.
Oh, good.
So that's the anticipated release. And that's supposed to ship with a pretty solid version, although an initial version, of Outlook. And so I'm assuming that Entourage will just go by the wayside. It would be my take. Have you heard anything about that at all?
I haven't. I think it's when I look at the tight integration that the Apple apps have already. It's hard to imagine that people who like Apple aren't going to just try to use those products, right? I mean, I'm off of Entourage because it just wasn't as integrated as the Apple apps were.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm using Mail, at this point, and Calendar and Contacts, and they work pretty nicely. Have to tell you guys, I got back in town this morning from New York, and sitting on my desk, it's always kind of like Christmas when this happens, but sitting on my desk was my new i7 MacBook Pro. It's got an i7, the new i7 chip from Intel in it with 8 gig of RAM, and I bought the solid-state drive. So I fired it up this morning, played with it for a while, and started transferring my stuff from my old MacBook Pro, but boy, is it zippy.
Well, that really is collateral evidence for my hardware claim earlier, Darren, because, that i7 8 gig is more effective on a Mac platform than 8 gig is on a Windows 7 platform. I think you'll be appalled at how much faster that machine runs once it gets installed and stabilized.
Yeah, it just pops right up, and that solid-state drive is zippy, too. I plan on playing with it for the weekend. It'll give me something fun to do. So, well, guys, we're out of time today. Anything else, Renee, that we need to be talking about regarding the iPad or new Office release, or Randy?
Well, the other thing I forgot to mention about the iPad is it's great for watching TV. So, you can take it anywhere in the house and keep watching your show.
Well, one of my partners today said that he's a Dancing with the – I'm not a Dancing with the Stars fan, but he is. And he informed me at lunch today that he can watch Dancing with the Stars on his iPad. So he seemed pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
Apparently ABC has an app for app.
But, yeah, I tend to be the Modern Family fan, and that's the one that we always miss it because we're putting the kids down. So watching it on the laptop, the fan gets going, it's loud, it's hot, and, the iPad, just you can be anywhere. It's just a nice little screen to watch TV.
Yeah. Randy, any closing thoughts today?
Well, on the Office 2010, do watch how the announcements unfold. Expect to see Microsoft pricing and licensing strategy shifts. We're pretty sure that will occur. And think about your budget, but remember that open licensing for most of our listeners is the most cost-effective way to get this generation Office and the one that's coming behind it.
Good deal. Well, guys, thanks a lot for your time today. I know all of us are going to be on the seminar circuit here soon. There's a lot of those firing up. Hopefully the crowds will be really good, and there will be a lot of great learning this year, as I'm sure there will be. So, guys, look forward to seeing you soon. And, again, I want to thank ADP for sponsoring today's podcast. So, guys, talk to you next month.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Good day.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.